preacher. By the time I came into the world, he was an alcoholic. I had an uncle who was also a backslidden Pentecostal preacher. He became known as the best preacher in the Ku Klux Klan. The House Subcommittee on Un-American Activities said he was the most dangerous man in America. He would go to the South and preach at KKK rallies. He wore a Confederate flag vest. Big picture of him in the National Post magazine when I was a young man in the 60s. He started race riots, went to prison, came back to Ontario, California, near Los Angeles, where I was born and raised. I remember him spending the night, and he'd put his big pistol up on the headboard in case he needed it. I became his protege. He began to teach me the, quote, truths, unquote, of the Ku Klux Klan. For instance, he taught that the white race were the 10 lost tribes of Israel spread throughout all the earth. And since Romans 11:26 says all Israel shall be saved, he taught that every white person will go to heaven, no matter what kind of life they live. Now you tell a teenage boy he can live any kind of life he wants and he'll still go to heaven. He'll live a real holy life, won't he? He taught that African Americans were probably aliens from another planet, brought in a spaceship, so we needed to ship them back to Africa. Jews were a race, the result of sexual intercourse between Satan and Eve. That's what the forbidden fruit was all about. So we had to kill them. And at one time in my life, my greatest goal was to be Imperial Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. But my last year of high school, I was talking with another family member who was also a very godly Christian. We were talking about what I believed. And he said, Dee, the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 through 12. Scared the living daylights out of me. Wow, what if I'm believing a lie? I sure don't want to go to hell for it. So I went on an earnest pursuit of truth. You know, the Bible says you shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so I would live like any other sinner during the day. I was a good sinner. I tried to be a good evangelist, and I was a good sinner. How many believe we should be good at whatever we do? But when I went to bed at night, I prayed a simple prayer, sincere prayer. I said, God, reveal to me the truth. And then I started reading in the New Testament with an open mind, expecting the Lord to show me the truth. And, you know, it didn't happen overnight, but the course of a couple months, I realized, hey, Jesus didn't teach segregation. He taught salvation. He didn't teach hatred. He taught love. He was a Jew. And so that summer at a youth camp, when the altar call was given, I walked the sawdust trail, gave my heart to Christ, repented of my life of sins, my false doctrine. God called me to preach that same weekend, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And now I don't want to send anybody anywhere but to heaven. And I've got the joy of telling you folks today, just in case you don't already know it, this book, the Bible, has all the answers to your confusion, to your needs, to your questions. I have a couple of things. Just take a moment. The pastor gave me permission. I'm a writer. I have a newsletter. It has a sermon called Most Important Man in History. Think of that. Who do you think is the most important man in history? Well, I sure like my pastor. Well, I'm glad, but maybe you better read this. So where is this at, Pastor? In the back as you leave on that table. Which table? Right there. Okay. You be standing there as people leave going like this, sister, okay, with a big smile on your face. And if you're interested in partnering with me in ministry, that tells you how you can do that. Then, about a decade ago, in the middle of the night, the Lord told me to start sending out a daily teaching. I've been doing that. Now it goes different continents and is a blessing to many people. It's like nothing on the internet. I have a joke of the day, I have a scripture of the day, I have a word of the day, I have a confession of the day. I tell lots of personal stories from my own life, as you'll see from my message. And it's free. And it'll be in your inbox in the morning when you get up. A lot of people use it for their devotional. So just give me your first and last name. Write with all capital letters your email address. The internet doesn't know the difference between uppercase or lowercase. And for some reason, capital letters are easier to read. If it's a zero, put a line through it, or I might think it's an O. If it's an L, put a base on the bottom. If it's a one, put a stem at the top, etc. Then circle. Do you want it every day, once a week, or once a month? Every day if you love Jesus, once a week if you like him. Well, you get the point. So this will disturb the service just a little bit as you pass it back and forth. But this will allow me to fly in to your home, an evangelist with a word from the Lord every day. God bless you for that. The Lord gave me a few words for people. Now, of course, we prophesy according to the measure of our faith, and I have missed it, so you judge. The Bible says that the prophets speak and the others judge, right? But I do have a few words, so let me see if I can remember. I got one for you, got one for her, got one for you, got one for you. Okay. Where's the dancer? Where's she out? Okay. The Lord said she's got 3 days to live. Somebody tell her that. Sister, you were the first one God gave me this word to, so you're important to him. And the word of God was propensity. Now, propensity is a natural, very natural, strong inclination we have. And I believe the interpretation is this. You have a real propensity to do something. I don't mean a sin. It's how you see things. It's the way you're going to live your life. And I believe the Lord's saying, hon, don't be so quick. I've got a different idea for you. Be a little humbler, a little more teachable, and you'll be surprised. God's going to do something you didn't even expect. Okay. Then I got a word for you, sister, and the word was pleasant. I believe the Lord's saying you've had a lot of unpleasant experiences in your life. Now, how many of you have had a lot of unpleasant experiences? See, I'm a pretty accurate prophet, brother. But why would the Lord say that to you? Because he's got some wonderfully pleasant things ahead of you. The Bible says in Joel 2:25, he'll restore the years the cankerworm hath eaten. So God's going to more than make up for the many unpleasant experiences. You've got some wonderful, pleasant things ahead of you. And then, sister, as he was speaking over you, I look at you, Lord, do you have a word? And I got two words, transition, which is obvious if you're going to move. But then the word I got was transformation. So not only are you transitioning, and you were speaking words that confirm that, this is going to be a transformation. This isn't the same old in a different location. Transforming things are going to be happening in your life. And I'm going to tell an illustration about Houston, which is a witness I should tell this story because I have a little bit of hesitancy to tell it. And then my dancer's still out. Don't let me forget to give her word. And then, brother, I'm looking over at you. Say, Lord, do you have a word for him? And I'm hearing people sing, he's incredible, he's incredible, he's incredible. Lord, that's a word for him. Do you know, brother, you are incredible in God's eyes? And you know something? That's a word for everybody here. You are incredible in God's eyes. The devil's been lying to every one of you and trying to put you down, but you are incredible. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're incredible. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know what you're doing. You're the official bouncer. The pastor said, if he says something I don't like, you just walk him out that door. I'll be on my best behavior, I'll tell you for sure. I'm speaking on the fatherhood of God today. You know, I have never heard a sermon on the Father. I've been preaching over half a century. And so can I preach a sermon on the Father? So many times I hear people pray to Jesus. Well, that's not evil. But did you know there's not one place in the New Testament after Jesus ascended to heaven that anybody prayed to Jesus? They always prayed to the Father. Paul said in Ephesians 3:14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ." In Hebrews 2:10, it says, "It became the Father of whom are all things and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." The Father wants to bring every one of you to glory. He wants you to be incredible in your eyes. He wants humbly, of course, understanding it's all Him. And He wants you to be incredible in the eyes of the world. Sister, the Lord gave me a word for you. And when I looked over at you, I saw the word acclaim in my spirit. And I believe the interpretation is that you're going to have a lot of acclaim in your life. And so you're going to have to make some very, very important choices. Katy Perry, wonderful, anointing to sing, called, and she chose to go the way of the devil instead. So you're going to have some temptation. You're going to have some opportunities the devil will allow. You follow your pastor's lead, the prayers of your saints. God has His hand on you. You're going to be a woman of acclaim. So put the word acclaim in your bedroom and humble yourself before God. And say, "Lord, I want to be worthy of that acclaim, and help me to never, never be diverted from my destiny." John 1:12 says, "To as many as received Him, Jesus, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." One of the most important dealings of God in my life was when He talked to me about sonship. Now, I've known I was an evangelist for many years. I put on my Bible, Evangelist D. Warford, when I was pastoring, because I knew that was my calling. But the Lord revealed to me, I'm not firstly an evangelist. I'm a son of the Father of the universe. You're not firstly a mother. You're firstly a daughter of the Father. You're not firstly a mailman. You're firstly a son of the living God. And this is such an important revelation, because once we understand that we are the sons of God, we're going to think a little differently toward ourselves and towards Him. You see, the Lord is calling us to worship Him. John 4:23, "The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to worship Him." I appreciate your pianist. Oh, I wish I could feel and hear the sounds you do, but I can't. But I am a pianist. And at one time in my life, my greatest goal was to be a jazz musician. I would have never made it because I'm too white. I can't feel and hear the syncopation and the rhythm, you know. You know, I'm in African-American church where everybody's offbeat, and I start off offbeat so proud of myself, and I always go back to the onbeat, you know, like Steve Martin and Stir Crazy, you know. So I love jazz, and not the modern stuff. How anybody can listen to rap, I'll never know. I hate it. My idea of hell is having to listen to rap music forever, blood squirting out of my ears. So I like, in fact, most of my favorite musicians are either in their 80s or dead. I'm showing my age. But anyway, so Spotify, the most wonderful invention for music lovers in history. Why anybody would pay $15 for a CD, I'll never know, when you can listen to it free. So I've got, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands on Spotify. And I love to listen to it, just day and night, you know. I'd go to bed at night, and in the middle of the night, I'd wake up singing and humming some of the tunes. So anyway, I was getting off work. I have an office I rent, and then driving home about 15 minutes, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to listen to some of my music, and I started to hook up to Spotify. The Lord spoke to me, said, "You know, you can spend this time entertaining God." I had never heard the concept of entertaining God. Folks, Hollywood didn't invent entertainment. God did. Hollywood didn't invent sex either, in case you had any doubt about that. And so
I'd never heard that my whole life. Father, you mean I can entertain you? I was so thrilled that God spoke to my heart, of course, that I said, I'm not going to listen to my music. I'm just going to sing and speak in tongues and praise God all the way home. And from that day, when I'm going back and forth to my office, I don't listen to Spotify. I don't listen to music. In fact, I virtually never listen to music anymore because there are too many wonderful, wonderful sermons on YouTube you can watch free, and there are just too many wonderful scriptures in the Bible you can listen to being read while you jog or go to the gym like I do. And so, God's calling you to worship, and I'm not telling you stop listening to music. Of course not. But I'm saying we make a lot of choices in life, and I hope part of your choice is to please God, to make Him happy. Then the Lord's ready to be a daddy to you. This is an important truth. Mark 14:36, Jesus said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup. Romans 8:15, for you have received the Spirit. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba is Aramaic. And every time in the Bible, three times, Abba, Father is mentioned, always side by side. And the word Abba, we have no perfect counterpart in the English language, but it is an endearing term like daddy. And so I was in prayer one morning, and I said, Lord, what should I call you? And the Lord spoke back to my heart, Bati, V-A-T-E is the transliteration. And in German, it means daddy. Now, that may not mean anything to you, but it means a lot to me. Because of my racist past, when I was in high school, you know, Hitler was my hero. So I figured I'd study German, the language of the master race. So I'm getting ready to go to my German class, and I meet a cousin of mine in the hall, in the language arts building. Where are you headed? He said, I'm heading to my Spanish class. I said, why don't you learn the language of a white man? Embarrassed to say that. You know God has a sense of humor. You doubt it? Look at the president he gave us. When Trump was elected, my wife looked at me and said, D, if Trump can become president, there's hope for you. And so, God has a sense of humor. I tell you, I've learned, how many of you learned that time and time again? Because that young white boy, so racist in his heart, called to preach, God ultimately appointed me as pastor of a Spanish church. And I immediately had to roll in college and study a brown man's language. God does have a sense of humor. We need to laugh more, amen, Isaac, which means laughter. Well, see, the problem with so many of us is that we had very poor father images. When I was back in Houston, I spoke at an African church and went to the parking lot. I was in a big hurry because I was late to the service and my wife's there with me. So there's a parking place close at Walmart. So I started to pull in. There's another car coming, so I crowded in. There's young African-American guy with his baby and his wife and kids, and I kind of pull and just follow him in. So he turned to me, and I couldn't hear everything he said, but he told me off, and I'm trying to placate him, so I went like this. Well, he must not do Facebook, because that means, okay, it must be something else in the hood. That guy began to cuss me, you blankety-blank white man. Then he goes, sped on my car. If I were a betting man, I'd bet $10,000 to one that that young man was raised without a father in the home. Lacking the guide of father, say, son, we don't do that. Now, son, this is how you respond to that situation. The high crime in inner cities, it has nothing to do with race. 3 out of 4 are raised without their father in the home. And did you know psychologists say it's more important if you're only going to have one parent to have a father in the home than a mother? Now, that's counterintuitive, but it's nevertheless the truth. Now, thank God, how many of you, your father was gone, but your mother, thank God for, she prayed for you. She did a pretty good job with you. And God can redeem. But the fact of the matter is, America's greatest problem today is the lack of strong father images. I know what I'm talking about, because my dad was an alcoholic. Oh, I could tell you some stories, if time allowed. I remember him being drunk and my mother and I running across the street, hiding behind the hedges. And so when I grew up, I was very insecure. In high school, I would run from fights, just scared, insecure. Though by nature, I was very fast and strong and could probably beat up most of them, frankly, but just such insecurity. Then when I became a pastor, I have $34 million to give you. Please write back. Oh, wonderful. After the service, I'll take care of that. How many of you get those in here? And people must be dumb enough to answer them because they keep doing it. And so when I'm a pastor, I would go to a minister's meeting and my hands would get all sweaty. I felt so insecure even around my peers. And then one day, Lord gave me a dream. In this dream, I was in a boxing ring. And, you know, I'm weaving and bobbing, you know, getting ready, warming up. And I thought to myself in my dream, I wonder who I'm going to fight today. And I looked over, and the other corner was my dad. And I knew what the Lord was saying. So many of my fears and insecurities was I was just fighting my father's failure to be the kind of father he needed to be. And that's what's happening in America. Sexual abuse, verbal abuse, abandonment, rejection. And it's one of America's greatest problems. But I've got good news for you. Your daddy wants you to come to him. I was in prayer, and every new year I like to ask the Lord for a word. Lord, do you have anything to say to me about this coming year? And then I'll open my Bible. Have done this since I was a teenager to get guidance. Open my Bible. First verse I opened to was in Luke 5:18, the story of the prodigal son. Starving, broke. Says he came to his senses. Folks, is it going to take fires all over America for America to come to their senses? God forbid. Does anybody doubt that God is a God of judgment as well as a God of love? And can a state that tries to make it illegal for preachers to counsel homosexuals, that tries to make it hide from parents that their little children in grammar school are going to transition sexually? Do they really believe God is going to do something about that? So we need to come to our Father. So this guy, he said, I will arise and go to my Father. His father was rich, and he did that. His father hugged him, gave him a new robe, a ring, killed the fatted calf, received him. Do you know there's a Buddhist parable that's similar? But in their parable, when the prodigal comes back, his father makes him do the work of a hired servant. How many of you think Christianity is the best religion in the world? And so, Lord, you want me to come to you. And I'd never really done like this before, but so many times in my prayer, I'll get up from my place of prayer and I'll say, Daddy, Bati, I come to you. I want you. I need you today. Oh, you need to come to your Father. And then finally, the Father wants you to know his love and his forgiveness. I was in prayer another morning. I said, Father, what word describes our relationship? And he spoke to my heart immediately the word compatible. That meant so much to me because I struggled so much through the years with insecurity, rejection. And I took that into the presence of God. I felt unworthy to pray. I felt unworthy to be used of God. Struggled with that through the years. And the Lord says, we're compatible. You see, we're one. He's my Father. We're one through Jesus. And so I am so glad that God loves me. I'm his son. I'm an evangelist, yes, but that's something I do. That's not who I am. I'm a son of the living God. And if you're a Christian, you're a son or daughter of the living God. And with this story, I close. In Spain, a father and son had a falling out. They'd been estranged for some time. So the father put an ad in the paper, when people used to put ads in papers, that said, Paco, all is forgiven. Meet me in front of the post office tomorrow at 12. The next day, there were hundreds of young men named Paco who were in front of that post office hoping they could be reconciled to their father. In my opinion, perhaps the greatest need, and I'm a deliverance evangelist. I've laid hands on thousands, heard the most intimate struggles you could imagine, prayed for their deliverance. Sometimes it was a demon. Sometimes it was a broken heart. Just someone reaching out for a father. And if you're reaching out for a father's love, maybe not consciously, but I guarantee you are subconsciously. How many of you here had a perfect father? Raise your hand. None of us had perfect. Some of us more imperfect than others. But the Father is inviting you today. You feel condemnation because of your sin? If you haven't brought them humbly to the Father to repent in Jesus' name, you have reason to feel condemned because you're on your way to hell, frankly. Maybe you're a backslider. You used to walk close to the Lord, but a bad marriage, a bad church experience, a bad trial caused you to drift away until now you're so far from the Lord that if you were killed in a fire, every now and then you read of somebody driving into flames trying to get through and they're overwhelmed. God forbid that that would happen, but it's a possibility. Would you go to heaven or hell? If there's any doubt, get right with God this way. And I'm sad to say this, but a backslider goes to a worse punishment in hell than the average sinner. I can prove that from the Bible. So I want to give a challenge this morning. I'm going to give a challenge to sinners, to backsliders. I'm going to give a challenge to those who know part of the reason you're so struggling emotionally is because of the lack of a loving, caring, wise father who could see you through your problems. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around for just a moment. Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus so we could be reconciled to you. You said, Lord, no man can come to me except the Father who sent me draw him. Father, draw people to the foot of the cross to get right with you today. Nobody looking around but me and the pastor. The pastor needs to be witness along with me of who is making a decision today. Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come with my heavenly angels. If you're too proud to admit to your pastor, to an evangelist who called to help you in this church, you'll be too proud tomorrow at work or at school. And the Bible says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Give everybody the privilege of privacy except for the pastor and me. How many of you would raise your hand and say, Pastor, evangelist, Father in heaven, that's me. I need to get right with God. Raise your hand. Raise it high till the pastor sees. Okay, God bless you. You may put your hand down anymore. God raise you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, sister. Anybody else, I need to get right with God today. God bless you. God bless you. Others, God bless you. You're not alone. I'm not condemning you. I'm inviting you to experience liberty. God bless you. You may put your hand down. Now I want to ask for those that this message really spoke to you. And you know, you may have already known it or like never before, that many of the emotional problems you're facing
or because the lack of a loving father being what he should be. And today you'd say, I need to be delivered from this hurt, and I'm going to allow my father, I'm going to come to him. I'm going to arise and go to my father so he can transform me. Raise your hands. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, everybody, look up. Let's all stand together. This is not a time to leave. It's only 11:15. There's still some things the Lord wants to do here today. So I know Mexican food waits for no man, but just trust the Lord that he'll reserve a plate of beans and rice for you. I want everybody who raised your hands, or if you know you should have but you didn't, I want you to come up front. The pastor and I are going to pray for you. Will you come? Don't let pride keep you glued to your seat. Where you sit represents your past. Up here represents your future with the Father's help. Come on, there were more. Come on forward. Don't be sure. You're not saying I'm a dirty, bad, nasty sinner. You're just saying I'm humbling myself before the Almighty God. I need him. I need my Father to rescue me from so many things. Anybody else, come forward. Come forward. Enough room in the front. Praise the Lord. Oh, brother, I wish I could take you all over with me. You really know how to pray anointed and like David playing the harp, chasing away evil spirits. God bless you. Hallelujah. I'll pay you $50 a week to travel with me. Okay. Let's see. For time's sake, let me just lead you all instead of praying through individually. Because you're not accepting me, you're accepting the Lord. You're not repenting to me, you're repenting to the Father. So I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer. It's kind of a general prayer, so I'm sure it'll apply to you. Say, Father in heaven, I will arise and go to my Father. Forgive me of my sin. Heal me of my backsliding. Be a father to me. Heal my broken heart. Bind up my wounds. Restore my soul. I'll start reading the Bible. I'll go to church. I'll witness. I'll ask for your guidance. And from this day forward, for the rest of my life, I'm going to serve my Heavenly Father. So help me, God. Amen. Okay, everybody, look out. God bless these people. And I know by experience there's many other people who need personal ministry and prayer. And so I'm going to turn it over to the pastor to officially dismiss. But I'm going to stay up here. If you need for I'm going to pray against pain. That's the only thing, sickness I'm going to pray for. If you have pain in your body right now, or if you would do something, if it hurt, you come forward. I believe there's healing for pain today. We just don't have time to deal with everything because very few people here are in perfect health. So I'm going to stay up here and minister to you. Don't come to me for counseling. That's not my ministry. Go to your pastor for counseling. Don't forget to grab your newsletter. Thank you for those who want to be a part of what God is leading me to do. And I love this church. I so respect your pastor, love your worship. And I would count it a privilege to come back another time and serve you. So the rest of you can go back to your seats, and I'll be up here ready to minister to those who want personal ministry.
You can have a seat, everyone. And this is how we're going to do before we let you go. I'm going to ask the greeters to help me, and we're going to, Gail, you made it. How are things? But you're here. We prayed for you and others like you as well. We've prayed for you. That God will have a hedge of protection around what he's given to you. God's going to keep it. So we're going to, greeters are going to help me. I want to bless this man with an offering. What about, you know about evangelists? They can say tough things and hard things, and then they go. And so I thank you. Thank you for coming, Evangelist D. Warford. And so if you guys could help me, we're going to receive an offering. For